come into your house.
Yes.
Lord, that as we come in and we humble ourselves before you, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit. You send your presence here to minister to us, to strengthen us, encourage us. And Lord, right now as we prepare to get into your word, we ask, Lord God, you would continue to challenge us and encourage us. Lord, I pray that the words that I speak today would be from you, that I would be a conduit which you use. Lord, we thank you for the great things you're doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If our ushers would come, we're going to continue worshiping through our giving. It's an active way for us to say, Lord, we trust you. Javier planted a bunch of seed in the garden, and there is a whole bunch of fruit, vegetables, something growing. And stop by and get some. And when we sow, then God can bless that as well. But if we don't sow, it won't grow. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to worship you through our giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a couple dozen announcements for you. Man, I feel like I haven't done this in a while. Yeah. I decided I should get out of town for a day or two, and now I can't remember how to do any of this. I went and got a nice sunburn. Thanks to everybody that covered while we were gone and made everything happen. You didn't even know I wasn't here. So it was good. We went camping up outside of Cascade. You know the best part, besides all the sun and the people, there was no cell service. That's my number one goal in camping, no cell service. I'm ready to go back to landlines. I snuck away from work the other day to McDonald's, and I was in the drive-thru and I got a text. What are you doing? Nothing. Are you at McDonald's? No. You're lying to me. Look, you little stalker. Life 360, yep. It's a blessing and not. All right, so next week is supper club, potluck, so bring a friend, plan to stay for lunch, I'm buying, sort of, it'll be a great time. And then midweek services are about 6 weeks away from resuming. You know, school starts in like 2 weeks for a lot of kids, 3 weeks for a bunch of others. All the parents are like, woo! So midweek services, we need volunteers. Amen. We got kids stuff, we got youth stuff, we got adult stuff, we got cooking, cleaning. We're going to still do dinners at 6:30, and then we have Bible study and youth and all of that stuff afterwards. And so as long as you're a good cook, we need people to do meals. The way this works, you can team up with other people. But the goal is to have at least 4 teams that do the cooking, so you're only doing it once a month. But, you know, we can actually have more than that. You do want to know that you're cooking for 50-ish people, give or take, how good the lessons are. So if you're interested in midweek helping out with that, we'll start September 9th with a family fun night, a big kickoff to get everybody excited, and then the following week we'll go with Bible studies and all that stuff. So it's a little ways out, but I gotta start manipulating you now. I mean encouraging you now. Young adults is in a couple weeks, Saturday, it's in your bulletin, Saturday the 9th. And so if you're in that category, young people, there is no reason to not show up. So out of high school, 20-somethings, early 30s, kids, married, single, no kids, all of that stuff. So come participate. That'll be a great time. Men's getaway. If you're going to go, we need to know. So let Richard or myself know. Richard. So it's just a few weeks away, and we either need to cancel or know how much food to buy. Preferably know how much food to buy. And then it's Christmas in July. Did you know that? You can even watch Christmas movies on TV right now. In the foyer, you saw we're doing the shoebox thing with the Franklin Graham Ministries. And school supplies are out. It's a great time. There's an example out there of the stuff. And so kind of the philosophy behind doing it right now is it kind of spreads out some of the different things we do so we don't end up doing like 12 different things between November and December. And so if that's something you want to participate in, a whole bunch of people have already signed up. Talk to Sarah or Carmen. They're here somewhere. Sarah's in the nursery. And I'll refrain from sarcasm.
And there's Carmen.
And there's Carmen. Good timing. So if you want to participate in that, that's all out there. And that's all I have written down, but I feel like... Oh, if your kids' camp is this week, we leave tomorrow morning. Pray for me. I mean, pray for the kids to be blessed. And thank you. You are so generous. The families got about a 70% discount on camp. And so... we have 11 kids going. Sapphire is going to wrangle the girls. I'm going to wrangle the boys. And then Rachel and Megan will be there too. And so, and that's not including Ben and Kennedy. So we've got about 17, 18 people going up to camp. It's going to be a good time. So we leave tomorrow morning. We come back Thursday afternoon. So if your kids are going, please stay after service. We'll keep it brief. Just want to run over some of the details so you're aware, and then we'll meet here at 9:30 in the morning and hit the road, because it's with construction and everything, it's a little bit of a drive. So so thank you for your generosity. We raised over $2,000 to help send kids to camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are something else. And so in the past, we've kind of just helped people and just basically taken it out of the general fund. And so your generosity, man, you guys are amazing. Every time we set out to do something, you step up and you rise to the occasion and good things are happening. So we appreciate that. So Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 18. We're just going to do a handful of verses today. So Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 18, says, "After this, Paul stayed many days longer, and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he also went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, 'I will return to you if God wills.' And he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia, Phrygia,
strengthening all the disciples. Lord, we pray your word would speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. So the first thing we see here, Paul gets ready to leave and Aquila and Priscilla go with him. Paul is always building relationships. Everywhere he goes, he is building relationships. And he leaves teams of people doing the work when he moves on. And I think we see this relationship between Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, and they develop such a friendship and such a bond that when he says, okay, it's time for me to depart, they go, we want to come with you. I don't know what they do and how they can do that. We can't all do that, correct? We can't just say, hey, I'm going to go to this place. We have missionaries that we support, and they go, we're going to Africa, or we're going to Indonesia, or we're going to this place, and we go, okay, we will support that. And Paul, as he gets ready to move, they go, we want to be a part of what you're doing. So he's building these relationships. And then he is committed to what God's plan is. In verse 18, it says, he cut his hair, for he was under a vow. Now, if we go back and we really study this, we don't actually know who he is referring to, if it's Paul or Aquila. We know who it's not. It's not Priscilla. She. It doesn't say she. It says he. And really, in the end, it doesn't necessarily matter which person it's referring to, but one of them made a vow, likely because of the reference to the cutting of the hair. It was likely a Nazarite vow, which this was something that men and women did. It was a common vow for a Jewish person to make. And if you look at what a Nazarite vow is, back in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, I'm just going to kind of give you the summary. Basically, it's a voluntary dedication to God that you abstain from specific things. And so you're refraining from alcohol, you're avoiding contact with the dead, you're not cutting your hair for a set period of time, and it symbolizes a separation from the things of the world and a consecration unto God. And so some of the things, so it's voluntary, you're abstaining. At this, you know, in the Old Testament, when we look at it, they were abstaining from grapes, they were abstaining from wine, they were refraining from cutting their hair, avoiding contact with the dead. So even if a loved one passed away, they would avoid that. And then it symbolized that separation from what's happening in the world and that dedication, that consecration unto God. And then the end of it, in the Old Testament, there was a set of sacrifices that would be made and then a cutting of the hair. And if you were where there was a synagogue, it would be part of a whole thing, and you would be in the synagogue when you did these things. You know, they are traveling, so they don't have that option. And so they stop so they can cut their hair. Typically, this is for a set period. Probably the most popular, well-known illustration or demonstration of the Nazarite vow is the great and mighty Samson. Pastor Rob? No. Samson. Samson, and he didn't cut his hair, and the strength that he had, and all of the feats and accomplishments that he made. And so that's the most, you know, well-known example of this, but it was a common thing. And I find it interesting, as we're reading through this, it's like Luke just kind of slips it in there. Oh, and by the way, he was taking a vow and he cut his hair. Okay, well, and they were Cenchrea, or however you say it, you know, Cuna, Boise, whatever this city is. It was a port city, and so when they stopped there, they ended the vow. And it's important enough that it's in the passage, it's in the scriptures. So it's possible that this This vow was maybe taken to show the devotedness to the Jews that they were ministering to. It's possible that if it was Paul, maybe he was seeking direction from the Lord. When is it time to go? Where am I going to go? There's always conflict around Paul. And you looked last week at what happened in Corinth. And there was a little bit of conflict there, and then it subsided fairly quickly. But we also know Corinth was a difficult place to minister. And maybe this is a vow to the Lord to say, Lord, I need wisdom, and I need discernment, and I need to know how to deal with these crazy people. Either way, I think it's a lesson for us. It wouldn't be in here if it wasn't something for us to learn, to grow from, to reflect upon. No matter how long we've been on this road of faith, Paul is, when we think of gospel heroes, Bible heroes, Paul is always in the top of the people that we think of. And he's still, assuming it was Paul, and with the context, everything else talking about Paul, that would be my tendency, would be to lean to that this was Paul. In the midst of all of these things, he still would pause and take time to set aside time and say, Lord, I'm gonna take this vow and dedicate myself unto you. Lord, I want to know what you have for me. And so no matter how long I've been on this road of faith, following the Lord and serving him and seeking after him and pursuing whatever it is he has called me to do, I still need to push pause and say, okay, Lord, we're going to encourage a time of corporate fasting here in the near future. Could incorporate something like this. Lord, I'm not going to cut my hair. When I don't go get my hair cut, the barber that I go to gives me a really hard time, but I will put up with it. He accuses me of cheating on him and going somewhere else. I'm not kidding. He really gives me a hard time. So I just have to tip him a little bit more so he'll shut up. Maybe I'm navigating a difficult situation or a difficult season in life, and I have decisions that need to be made. It's a great opportunity to push pause and say, Lord, I'm going to consecrate this time to you. Lord, I need your direction in my life. Lord, I want to submit myself to your will in my life. And maybe it's a specific season. Maybe it's indefinite. Lord, I'm just going to hold fast on these things until I have heard from you and I know where you're leading me, until I get confirmation. So I don't think this little half sentence or sentence that was thrown into these passages here is by happenstance. I think God is challenging us and directing us and saying, look, even the heroes of the faith were doing these things. Verse 19 says, they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, referring to Priscilla and Aquila, and he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. So God is strategic. God is strategic, and sometimes in our lives, we don't feel like that's the case. We feel like, hey, I'm still here, waiting. It's still frustrating. I still need deliverance. I still need set free. I still have this mess over here that I don't want to deal with. But God is strategic. And when they get to Ephesus, Paul leaves Priscilla and Aquila there. And it kind of seems weird at first. They're like, we want to go with you. And they start traveling with him. And then he's like, you stay here. I'm going to keep going. But when we read a few more verses that we're not going to get to today, not for a few weeks actually, Paul leaves them there and they begin to set the groundwork for him to return to Ephesus later. And he stays there for an extended period of time. And so it's strategic. God is leading them and guiding them. And when you read these verses in the New King James or the King James, it actually says that Paul is intending to return to Jerusalem. It's possible that maybe it's maybe the Passover, and he's going to return, and he's going to see all the brethren there in Jerusalem, and he's got a plan. And you know Paul, he always wants to visit the places where he's been. He wants to encourage the people where he's sowed seed. He wants to go back and water it. He wants to get the weeds out and make sure those people are developing good, strong roots. And so he's got a plan. And in this statement, he says, if God wills. Now, I feel like we, in this day, we have taken that, and it's our tagline for our prayers. We pray that the Lord would, we pray you are healed if it's God's will. That's not what this is talking about at all. What is happening, what Paul's saying here, if you read it in context, he's saying, it's my intent to return to you. Hey, I hope to see you guys next week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. We're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to talk about if it's God's will. Not, I'm going to be at kids camp for a week. I might not make it. Sleeping on crummy mattresses and 300 plus kids. At least the coffee's decent. I've had many cups. It's okay. It's good enough. Plus, I may have grabbed some Starbucks and put it in my pack. I'll see you next week if God wills. I don't know what this week holds. You don't know what this week holds. We set out on Monday morning like it's just any other day. But it's not always just any other day. And that's what Paul is saying. Like, he has been beaten. He has been imprisoned. People don't like him. If I can stay out of prison and keep from getting beat to death, I'll be back. He could have said that. And I don't know if this is the specific passage where we pull this, but I feel like this is a tagline that we throw on to things when we want to speak as if we have faith, but we want to throw an escape clause in there so if it doesn't quite work out, we can go, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Or I guess you made terrible decisions. That could happen too. Look, I'm just saying, maybe I need another week off. There's not a devil behind every flat tire. You just needed to put air in it or get new ones because they were bald. Megan got a flat tire right out here one day, and I'm like, what did you do? And we pull it off, and I'm like, oh, the metal, the steel belts are showing through. You should have taken care of this. I'm like, start looking at all the tires. I'm like, oh, I've only been looking at the outside edge. The inside is toast. The devil wasn't behind it, poor maintenance was. If God wills. God wants to do great things in your life. You know, we're one of the few churches that take an offering post-COVID. Most churches didn't bring it back. Good job, devil. We don't take an offering because we need your money. He provides everything we need in this place. Every time we do a project, a lot of times we don't even bring it up. We just start doing it, and you come in, and you're like, well, I guess you were bored this week. God just keeps taking care of all of the things. The giving is an opportunity for us to show our faith. The giving is an opportunity for us to activate what God wants to be doing in our lives. There is clear scripture references to what happens when we are faithful, when we sow those seeds.
Amen.
And it's not if God wills. It's a clearly stated promise. And we have to move away from putting this escape clause in our life and commit to the things that God has called us to. God has great things for you. We just have to keep going. I was a lazy slacker this week. I will admit it. I didn't even want to get out of bed. I had a sunburn. It felt so good. It was only on half, though. This side was in the shade. This side was not. I looked pretty cool. And so I went, man, I have a sunburn. I can't go to the gym this week. I'm not going to stick to my good eating. It's time to bring cupcakes and Pepsi back. So nobody knows this, but I have a secret stash of cupcakes in the freezer at home. And the minis. Have you tried the minis? They're so good. I'll walk it off this week at camp. God will follow through. He is a strategic God. He is a God with a plan. He is a God with a purpose. He's a God with a design. And you're part of that plan. Also, no is an answer. Ask my kids, can we? Nope. Can we do? Nope. Are the dishes done? Maybe. Is the lawn mowed? I'll think about it. No is an answer. It's just not the one we like. Can I have a raise? Nope. Hard pass on that. You're going to get a raise if these things all go through. You're going to get that raise. It's just going to look a little different. So the Jews in Ephesus are ready. They want to hear more. Paul, tell us more. Sorry, I got to go do this other thing. The confusion, wait. Finally gets a synagogue that wants to listen to him. Gotta go, guys. Sorry. It doesn't always make sense in the moment, but God is directing all of these things. And Paul also knows he's leaving Aquila and Priscilla to lay the groundwork so that when he returns, that the preparation has been done. So we have to learn to trust the process. God knows what he's doing. It's going to be okay. So maybe it's time for a Nazarite vow. Maybe it's time for some prayer and fasting. You know, fasting isn't just good spiritually. It's good physically. You got stomach issues? 24-hour fast. You got a broken knee? You got to bump it up to like 72, 80. You got to get up there a little more. But man, your body, God directs us to fast in the scripture. And it's because there's a great spiritual benefits to fasting. But it's also because he knows it's going to be good for our body. It's going to heal your body. Allow God to direct your life. Let Jesus take the wheel. He's a pretty good driver. Verse 22 says, when he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Strengthening all the disciples. Strengthening. That's what we're here for. So this is what Paul's doing. Map. Time for the map. I lulled him to sleep. So you can't read all of this, but I'll show you. So there. This is Corinth. This is Athens. So this is what they've been doing. They've been coming down here, and they went to Corinth. This is where they cut their hair. This is where you go for a good haircut. And then they sailed across the Aegean Sea to Ephesus. And this is where Paul says, okay, you stay. I'm out. I need a timeout from you. Too much quality time. Paul's love language is leave me alone. And so then he goes from Ephesus and he sails. and strengthen the believers, to build them up. The whole reason we come together is to strengthen one another, to build each other up. Paul is always building relationships, developing relationships, strengthening people, encouraging people, getting into some arguments, getting into jail, getting beat up, and then does it again. Because the sacrifice is worth it. He's like, I will go to jail for you. I will take a beating for you because I want to strengthen you in the faith. I want you to know how much God cares for you. I want you to know. And that's quite a journey back in those days. No Teslas to get you everywhere you need to go. But Paul says, I'm going to come back through these places, and I'm going to minister to these people because it's not just about numbers. It's about, I want to invest in your life. I want to build you up. I want you to know. We are in a season, folks, where people need to know the love of Christ and where we need to be strengthening and encouraging them to keep walking out that walk.
Yes.
It's not how you start the race. It's where you're at when you finish the race. And we want to cross the finish line together. So he went from one place to another through the region, strengthening all the disciples. God puts people in your life that you can strengthen, that you can encourage. And sometimes that looks different than others. Sometimes we wonder, man, am I making any ground here? Sometimes we got to just, okay, you don't want to hear anything. You don't want to learn. The school of hard knocks is for you. Enjoy. But there's people, God, places in our life where we can invest in them and we can pour into them and they want to grow and they want to learn and they want to draw closer to God. There's people navigating difficult situations in life and going, I don't understand what is happening. I don't know how to get from this back to where I was. God is drawing and calling people. We firmly believe that you're not here by happenstance, that you're here for a reason. God is drawing you into this place. There's something for you, and we want to strengthen and encourage you. We want to build you up. We want to see what God has for you take place and be at work. And maybe you go, well, I don't feel like God's using me. Well, come talk to me. Let's find a volunteer opportunity. We got all kinds of stuff that's going to be happening this fall. We have audiovisual volunteers that are needed. We have all kinds of stuff. And God wants to be at work in your life. He wants to, the pattern that Paul sets for us, that is depicted through us in these scriptures and throughout the book of Acts, what Paul is doing, we can do the same thing. Maybe I'm not crossing the Mediterranean Sea, but I'll cross 12th Avenue. To engage and minister to another person as God's putting them on your heart. So let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these amazing people. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness and their generosity. Lord, I thank you that as we come into your house and we seek you, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord, I pray that as we've read through these scriptures and looked at the Nazarite vow and looked at what Paul was doing, Lord, as you've spoken to our hearts this morning, I pray that we would be responsive to what you're speaking to us. Lord, those that are sitting here this morning and they don't see a way, I pray, Lord God, that you would show them. We rebuke negative thoughts and we rebuke discouragement and fear. And we pray, Lord, that faith and peace and hope would reign. And Lord, that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love us and you died for our sins. And we give you all the honor and glory for what you're going to do in this place and through each one of these lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Enjoy the blistering heat. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. If you're sending kids to camp, please come right up here.